Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest in the morning show studios. He is here today, made it through the construction and early part of summer. How's it going?
Summer feels great. You know, it's a good time in a district, but it's a busy time. People think, you know, the teachers and the kids are busy doing other stuff, that there's not much to do. And there is a lot of work to do. We have lots of meetings to prep for, you know, that last week in August when our teachers come back. So we're readily getting ready for professional development for the teachers, summer school's happening. There's all those different things that happen in a district. Plus, you've got to go through every room, clean it, wax it, get it all ready for the fall, you know, opening. So we have a couple months here where we really work on that stuff. So in June and July and really getting into the first part of August, you just have about 9 weeks before the kids start coming back.
You were moving classrooms a year ago, so this must seem a little bit more like a picnic than compared to that, right?
It definitely feels different, and it certainly is a good thing. Yeah, last year we had about 75% of the teachers and kids move to different buildings based on our reconfiguration, and this summer everything is just kind of calmer. It seems very different, and that's an okay thing. It feels like the year went really well. We successfully transitioned to a three-building system right on one campus, and from there on, everything's kind of been smoothly moving forward, so it's exciting. It's exciting. To have kind of a downtime a little bit so that people aren't upset about moving or worried about where their boxes are going to be and all that stuff. So it's definitely a different kind of summer.
Yeah, to say goodbye to a great group of young people, and you do every year, but how did graduation go?
Graduation was wonderful. We had three great speakers, and so Will and Grady and Quincy all did a great job giving their senior speeches and doing a great job. Darby did a great job. It was a beautiful ceremony. We had a great day. Sent off probably about, I think it was 102 graduates from our River Valley High School gym. They will now become alumni rather than students, and that's exciting, and we're excited for them to make on their next steps. But it was a beautiful day, lots of families, lots of friends, a lot of graduation parties and fun afterwards. So it was a really great day. And then we jump into just the last week of school, which we did. And now it's, you know, you would think that the campus would be pretty quiet, but there's things that are happening. You know, I see kids going into the weight room every morning. I see kids there in the afternoons. Kids are driving their bikes through the campus just wondering what's going on. So even though they say they need to be out of school, I think the kids really like being at school. And so it's fun to see that. Teachers will be less apt to be there the first couple weeks, but very soon the teachers will start to come back as well. So it's fun to see all that great stuff have a big ending for them, and now we jump on to the next thing.
Recently, I know you were asked to do a lecture on poverty, and you had to dig some numbers out, and I think you were going to share some of those with us today.
Yeah, so there's something really special about a rural district, but a big difference that a rural district has than an urban and a suburban district is that we have a lot of statistics that we play with, but I speak to this idea because there is something in the River Valley area called the Morrell Lecture Series, and within that Morrell Lecture Series, they have different evenings where you can really dive into different topics that matter to our communities. So if you're ever interested in some of these lecture series, they're for anybody that's interested in learning more about their community or their region. And if you went to rivervalleycommons.org, you would be able to jump in and find out about the different lecture series that are going on. There might be a speaker on, I don't know, morphology. There might be one on poverty. There might be one on a special author that's brought in. But there is one next Monday where I'm asked to be a part of a panel that really speaks to rural poverty. And rural poverty is something that's very different than urban and suburban. When I'm driving in a big city, this last weekend I was driving through Memphis, you can see poverty. You see people on the streets. You see homelessness. You see homeless shelters. You see a lot of different things like that in an urban or a suburban setting. But in a rural district where everything is spread out and it's so, I guess, just out in the country, it looks different. And so I've been doing some research on that, and I've been doing just some really good note-taking on stuff about that. And it really does make you really pause and think about how schools are greatly embedded in the lives of their students, but the lives of the families. And in River Valley, I was just recently looking at some statistics. About 34% of our kids receive free or reduced lunches based on the fact that their families meet a threshold of poverty. And so when you think about one in three kids in your district have breakfast and lunch at school, and that is either free or greatly reduced because they can't afford the groceries to feed them at home. It really gives you a different kind of lens on how you feel about kids when maybe they're tired, when maybe they're misbehaving. It could be that they're hungry. It could be that they've not rested well. It could be that they had homelessness. It could have been a lot of things. So there's a lot of statistics in a rural district that just look different for us. And so I wanted us to really kind of just dive into that a little bit. That definitely does affect how kids act. And in River Valley, I have another statistic out there. 92% of our parents are in the labor force. That means their parents are both working. Or if they're in a single family household, most likely that family has that one person working. So when that person gets off their job, they are the caretaker, but they're also the provider. They probably are the cook and the cleaner and all those things there too. And that's a very different statistic than what was for us when we were growing up. It was near 50% in the 70s and 80s of people in the household that worked. And now in a small rural space like River Valley, 92% of those families are working, which means it changes the way of family dynamic and it changes the way of supporting a kid that's at school. So with that, I just really think it's important that we kind of consider those things when we're supporting our schools. Families with incomes below the poverty level for us is right around 7%. Families with SNAP benefits, that would be, you know, getting that free grocery benefit, that's around 10%. So all of these things end up affecting a kid academically, but socially as well. And so those are some of the things that we really, I guess, continue to look at. The other thing that we look at in River Valley is when we look at three-year trends on that poverty, we see it rising more with our younger students. So the kids that are in the most impoverished regions or households are the kids that are our youngest kids. So in the grades 4K, 5K, 1, 2, 3, that's where we have the most families struggling. And that really sits at home. So those little people in our lives over at our schools are the ones that are affected more greatly.
Interesting.
So it's just really interesting stuff for us to consider, and it really thinks about, you know, when you're worried about a school and how you can help at a school, it's about those things that a kid truly needs, whether it's school supplies or whether it's food. Those are the things that many of our districts across Wisconsin are now being asked to prepare and have ready for kids. And that's just something really interesting that I've been studying, and I just wanted to share that out with you today, Phil.
Absenteeism. We've talked about that before as well, but you know, that sometimes is a little higher too in those situations, isn't it?
It is. Chronic absenteeism happens. We find that in a greater amount with kids of poverty, and that could be because, again, they're hungry, they didn't sleep well. It could be that they live in a family situation where people are in and out of the house at all different shifts of the night to make sure that they're there. So there's a lot of that that really does affect it. We try to keep absenteeism to a minimum, and there are different laws that you can pursue as a district if a kid is chronically absent or habitually truant is what they call it. So a kid's supposed to be at school, and we give them kind of a 5-day window each semester. So you get about 5 days per semester to be gone. But we have kids that are gone, and I know this is going to sound crazy, 50 days a year. So when you have 180 days of school and 50 of those are absent, then you have to go into something that's called habitual truancy. And so we send letters, we make the phone calls with every single absence. We call the family to make sure that they know where the kid is. We ensure that the kid is safe. Yep, they have to report in. Yep, the kid's been sick. Okay, if the kid's been sick, that's great. We kind of have these ideas that there's personal days and sick days. But even within that, we try to keep that chronic absenteeism to 10 or fewer days in a school year. And that's what state law gives us that leeway to talk about. But when it gets up into the 20s and the 30s and even above 30, 40, 50 school days, you have to get the courts involved. And so then you write tickets, and you have probably a school resource officer issue tickets to a family, which is never a great thing to do. We don't like to do those things, but we want families to understand that school's got to be taken seriously. So you jump into habitual truancy processes. It could even go to the court systems in each of the counties. And then with that, the counties are helping us try to get the family to get the kid into the school. So there's all these different factors that happen, and that absenteeism rate is higher with kids of poverty. right? So those are things that you kind of think, well, that naturally makes sense. A kid of poverty would have a household that maybe isn't as supported. And it is true that affects absenteeism, but that'll affect their grades. That'll affect whether or not they're participating in school activities. That'll affect how they're acting in your classroom. So all of this comes together in some of the stuff that we do throughout the summer and throughout the year to really support the families of River Valley. And in any district in the Richland, Sauk, Iowa County area, those are the things that your districts are doing to try to make sure that the kids feel safe, they feel like they're welcomed, and that they feel like they can continue to progress within our four walls.
Does the River Valley District engage in the summer food program then as well?
We do. We do have a summer food program. We make all families aware of that. We know that we try to also advertise for our local food banks or food shelters and make sure that they know that there's a space in almost every one of our towns that they can go and grab grocery if they need it. There's all sorts of stuff like that. And we have local churches and local community efforts that really help out. But it can't do everything, right? So we just try to make sure that kids have those things. We also offer summer school. And for some kids, summer school can end up being that way for them to continue to kind of find some normalcy in their lives.
Indeed. Now, back in the day, if I had to go to summer school, it wasn't necessarily a good thing. That meant maybe I underachieved.
Yes.
During the year. But that doesn't mean that anymore, does it?
Well, it does for some. I'll be honest with you. There are some kids that need to come to summer school, and that's really for grades 9, 10, 11, and 12. So at our high school, if you haven't gotten through all the homework to get the grade that you needed to pass, you get about 4 days off, and then you come back to high school. And we have people in every department there teaching those kids to get that credit recovery, is what we call them. Let's say maybe you got through 50% of what you needed to get through in that semester and you just need to get back in the walls and you need to get back here to finish it up. We'll make sure that we staff the building to make sure that you can come in and finish up those credits. So credit recovery is happening at 9th and 10th grade. So that's a great thing. For our 6th and 7th graders, we have a new process that we're calling Exploratory Camp. And so that's going to happen coming up next week. So our Exploratory Camp for grades 7 and 8, which would be the kids this last year that were in 6 and 7, it's about teaching them about the great things that we offer through CTE or computer technology education or career and technology education. And we have 5 days of fun, basically, where they get to come in and all day one day, they're going to learn about all the great classes they can take in agriculture. The next day, they're all going to come in and we're going to teach them about all the great classes we offer in auto and engineering. On Wednesday, we're going to bring them in and they're going to get to work in our wood shop and learn about woods, carpentry, and engineering that way. The fourth day, they get to come in and look at metals and welding. And then on the fifth day, they're going to come in and they're going to work on business education. And those are really the big CTE programs that we have, because from 7th grade on, they get to take elective classes in these five areas that really inspire them and get them engaged in some kind of hands-on, getting ready for the workforce job stuff. So we want to make sure that every 6th and 7th grader has a chance to try those on for size and really think about what they want to do. Then down at the intermediate school, Mr. Radke's having kids come in one day a week, and he's kind of doing a balance between academic kind of support as well as fun. And so they're going to come in and they're going to work on some homework. They're going to do some math and some reading, but then he's going to feed them pizza and he's going to take them on a field trip once a week. And so that's a way for us to keep engaged with kids. So if a kid becomes disengaged with school, we worry about what they call summer slump, where they kind of turn off their brain and don't get ready for the fall. So by giving our intermediate kids, which are in fourth and fifth grade, this opportunity once a week to kind of come in and work on some stuff, but also have some fun with some of their classmates, we find that to be a real promising way to keep kids engaged in school. And then at the lowest grades, at our little kids at the elementary school, we're offering 2 weeks in June and 2 weeks in July where they can come in and just have some enrichment, where they get to have fun stuff, where they really get to dive into things, anything from arts and crafts, where maybe they're making bracelets or playing with Legos, trying to build the biggest structures they can out of popsicle sticks or maybe out of dried spaghetti noodle, right? All those fun things. There's a class on art. There's a class on Disney princesses. There's a class on all different things. So at the elementary, we have those 4 weeks, two in June and two in July. And those are great things that we're trying to offer to kids to keep them engaged in learning throughout the summer. Yes, our teachers need time off. Yes, kids need to rest. But if you have time and you want your kid to be engaged at school, I think almost every district in our region is offering something to try to keep your kid engaged. And we also try to remind families that there's things beyond the school district too. We have local libraries, we have activity centers, we have local museums, we have all sorts of things. We've got splash pads and aquatic centers and all the fun stuff around us that they should be doing too. So yes, it's more relaxed, but we also don't want kids to fall into bad habits. So we want to keep them busy if they need that opportunity.
And you can still register for that, Lauren?
You can. You just call our elementary school and we would get you registered by this time.
Yep. And I understand too, you provide transportation for
some? We do. It's not the same kind of transportation. So it's not like in the fall where we will come to your end of your road or end of your driveway. But in the summer, what we do, because we have our four communities, is we send a bus out to one side of Plain and then the other side of Plain. And there's kind of these big bus grab spots. And then we'll go to Lone Rock to two spots. We'll go to Arena to two spots. And we'll go in, even in Spring Green, because there's some kids that live way over on the far side across from a highway. So we'll go over there and grab kids and bring them into the campus. But again, it's these drop-off spots rather than going door-to-door.
Did you hear anything about storm damage in the district from yesterday's storms?
That's interesting. Yeah. So like we didn't hear a lot at the district. We saw a lot of trees and leaves go down. I actually was part of a chamber outing yesterday. The Chamber of Commerce had a great fundraiser and I was a part of that. And as I was going home from that, because the chamber outing was at a golf course and it got rained out about 1:30. So around 2:30, I was going up County Highway G and huge oak tree came over so that a lot of people were turning around and having to go around as a family came out and had to clean up their area. So we had a lot of tree damage, a lot of things kind of more toward the Dodgeville area than I saw kind of toward the Richland Center way, but more simple things like tree damage rather than roof damage or huge sheds blowing down and stuff like that.
It does seem to happen in the month of June lots
sure
of times,
does.
Doesn't it?
And it sounds like we're going to have maybe a little bit more today. So I hope everybody's just keeping their eye on the sky and being safe.
Keep it safe. Absolutely.
You betcha.
And do we talk a little bit about, you talked about the exploratory camp, I know, for the youngsters. Registration is still open. I think we hit that as well.
If you have any questions about summer school, call your local schools. Call in. And again, I'm speaking for River Valley because that's my work. But if you're in Richland Center, if you're in Ithaca, or you're in Weston, call your local schools and ask, what are the opportunities for my kids to be engaged? If your school doesn't have something, then reach out to your local libraries or reach out to your local rec centers, because those are some of the opportunities that can keep a kid engaged and kind of out of trouble, right? You know, they say that busy hands are good for the brain. And I think it is true. You don't want kids to just slump around, watch TV, get on their phone and do nothing the whole summer. My dad made sure that there was always something to do because we drive our mother nuts. So I think more than anything, keeping kids busy and keeping kids engaged is a really good thing. And I encourage parents to reach out to their local districts, but also reach out to your local communities and keep kids engaged in these next couple months. They really, really do like structure. Even though a kid will say, leave me alone, I want to rest, I want to be left alone, what's best for a kid is a routine so that they understand, okay, I'll give you downtime. You can have downtime till 9 o'clock, but then you're going to do something from 9 until 11. We're going to eat lunch, we're going to come back, you're going to have activity. I think structure is good for anybody, but it's really good for children. So remain kind of diligent as a parent to make sure that your kids are busy this summer and having a good time.
Let's talk about the River Valley school schedule because, you know, you put the wraps on 1 year, but you're already looking ahead in your line of work.
You betcha.
First day of school.
Yep. We have teachers coming back on the 24th of August. So that whole week during August, 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28, teachers will be back. We have our open house on that Tuesday. So I think that would be August 25th. We always have a big open house where all of our buildings are open and kids can come in and out. Families can come in and out. By that point, families really want the kids to come back. So we're really excited to get them back on campus by that time. Right around the beginning of August, you know, things like volleyball and football and all those practices start anyways. But back to August, we'll be in there 24 through 28, as I said. Then it's a weird kind of calendar this year. We come back as a staff on, I believe it's the 31st, August 31st, because you have to only start school in Wisconsin after September 1st. So we have to wait until we can get to that clearance of September 1st, and then we start our school year. I believe it's a Tuesday next year that will start on September 1st, and I believe that is 2026, getting ready for the 26-27 school year.
And it won't be long. We'll be talking about the River Valley School Fair.
I love it.
Do you know that date off the top of your head?
The school fair will be the last full Friday of the full week in September. Yes, let's just keep talking while I look at my phone. I can do this.
Well, it usually July, is the case.
August, yep. September, I believe it is on the 24th. Excuse me, 25th. So it'd be September 25th would be the River Valley School Fair. That would be our homecoming week. We'll have our homecoming game that night. It'll be a big, big night for us on that day. Yep, school fair day. And that, again, if you've never been to the River Valley School Fair and you live in the area, you really should come. I'm inviting a lot of people from the UW of Platteville over as well. They have agriculture education classes, and I'm inviting them because I really think you need to understand that one of the best parts about agriculture education is putting it really your activities to mind and also seeing it to fruition. So our school fair is comparable to a county fair. When you think about the entries that we have over 200 animal entries. And so some of the things that we can accomplish, when I say we, I mean our FFA alumni, Sherry Graffunder, our ag teacher, and all the community around us, they organize the best school fair that I've ever seen. And it's just an incredible opportunity. So that'll be on that 25th, and you should really come on down. They start weighing in animals right around 5:30 in the morning, and then we have showmanship, we have classes, we have all that great stuff that goes along with your local fair, as well as art exhibits in one of the local gyms right there. And we continue to provide just great activities throughout that whole day. And then we have the animal meat auction. I believe it starts at 1 o'clock on that day, which is a huge community event, and the kids get to sell some of their great projects throughout that and get great money for it, and that goes back into their funds. And then that afternoon we have our homecoming parade, which leads into a homecoming celebration, which leads into the homecoming game. So that whole day is a great day to be in River Valley. So that is really what we're planning for. We're planning for getting kids back from September 1 through the 24th, then get to the school fair. From school fair, you cruise into basically the school year. And so it's an exciting time to get prepped for all of those great things.
I know you and Sherry Graffunder, you spend some time at some county fairs as well.
Yeah, I get lucky. Sherry allows me to tag along, so I do get lucky. River Valley's a big district. You guys know that. Geographically, we cover a lot of area. Almost 300 square miles worth of land is in River Valley. And so it's a big district. Those four little towns of Arena, Lone Rock, Plain, and Spring Green make it just a wealth of opportunity. But with that, I get three counties. So I can go to the Iowa County Fair and help Sherry. I can go to the Richland County Fair and help Sherry. And I can go to the Sauk County Fair and help Sherry. And at each one of those, I get to really celebrate the great things that kids continue to do in agriculture in Wisconsin.
Indeed. Isn't River Valley, land-wise, aren't you one of the biggest in the state?
We are one of the biggest in the state in the southern half. So if you basically cut our state in half, we're number two. Adams Friendship is right around the same size as us. So the two of us make up the two largest districts in the southern half of Wisconsin. In the northern half of Wisconsin, there's some districts up there that are county sizes. So they're bigger ones up there, but there are also very few kids up there. Back in the day, you guys know this, River Valley's now down to about 1,000 kids. Back in the day, we had nearly 1,500 to 1,700 kids because every family farm had six kids in it, every one of those big houses. It's not quite the same as it used to be, but we still have all that land, and it's a great asset to our district, and it's something that we really treasure on being somebody that can really take care of the large land mass of kids that we really try to serve.
I think Maple Northwestern might be the biggest in the northern part.
That
I think
sounds right.
That's what I've heard. Because
I will find out for us. We can get some trivia on the next time.
One kid every 40 miles or something.
Oh my God.
No, it isn't that bad. I just said that. But
yeah. Yeah, I bet it is.
It's close.
It would be a lot. And when you think of that, and you think of River Valley, one of our challenges that comes from being that large is also transportation. You know, I've got a kid in every corner of every field, right? And so you got to get our transportation out there, but that does come with a cost, and we understand that. So our transportation budget is definitely bigger than some, but it's what we do to make sure that the kids and families are served.
Always good to have you in the studio, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nee.
Here's to a good summer.
Hey, you betcha. We're going to have a great one. I'll be back in July, and I'll be talking about all the great things that we're planning for August.
Great. Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley District Administrator on this portion of the morning show.